like to invite you over to Psalm 37, verse 16 tonight.
Psalm 37, verse 16 reads this way. It says, a little bit a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We ask your blessing on your word, Lord, on your people. Lord, open our hearts and minds that we might understand your truths. Guide us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, we also ask your continued blessing as we break off for prayer tonight. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is What We Have in God. It's good to take inventory concerning the things of God that he has given to us. And so tonight, as we consider this psalm that David wrote, was there ever a time that David needed to take inventory concerning what he had in God? Do you think maybe as he was fighting the lion and the bear, do you think he had to take inventory that he had a mighty God that was more than able to help him with the lion and the bear? And as he faced Goliath, but listen, we think about Goliath, but do you also remember that he was also dealing with the opposition of his eldest brother that was not too happy with him? He thought he'd come down here just to see the fight and neglected the sheep. And boy, he was falsely accused of all different kinds of things where he finally said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Praise the Lord that David was able to realize what he had in the Lord. And so as we consider this psalm of David, I just want to remind you that the beginning of this psalm says, fret not thyself. And so was there ever a time in David's life where maybe he had occasion to fret or worry or maybe even get a little upset about being wrongly pursued by King Saul and maybe falsely accused at other times? And so David had great concerns in his life and great needs, and so do we. And so this psalm is penned down for you and I to take refuge in and to take heart in concerning the things that God has given to us. So I just want to look at three thoughts tonight: an upheld life that God has given to us, an everlasting inheritance, and then a protected and preserved life. Look at verse 17 with me, and here's what it says. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. That's an upheld life. God upholds us by his grace, by his mercy, by his righteousness, by his power. Oh my goodness, so many things God upholds our life with, and we ought to take refuge and realize that because of the Lord, we also will stand before him throughout all eternity by his grace and mercy. And then secondly, I want you to notice this everlasting inheritance. You know, the things of this world are going to pass away. Isn't that good, though? Some things we want to pass away. All the aches and pains and all the discomforts of this life. We'll be glad to say one day, good riddance, right? And we'll have a body that will never grow old. That boggles my mind. Amen. That will have more life in it than you and I have ever had. I don't understand that, but boy, oh boy, what a day that's going to be. Look at verse 18. It says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for how long? Isn't that good? All the things that God has in store for us are not just for 100 years, not for 1,000,000 years or 1,000,000,000 years, or here's the new number of the last couple of decades, or for 1,000,000,000,000 years. But listen, forever, throughout all eternity, we have our inheritance with the Lord. And then lastly, can you believe it? We're at the last point already. Is there a trick, Brother George? Maybe, I don't know. But look at verse 19, protected and preserved. Verse 19 says this, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. That's God's people. And David faced some difficult times in his life. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Listen, in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Now, famine can be all different kinds of things. But certainly, a famine can involve a short supply. We've experienced some of that, right? Remember when you went to the grocery store and the shelves were bare? And by the way, maybe sometimes they're still bare, right? Sometimes things aren't there. You go for them and they're out of it or what have you. Raise your hand if you starved at all. Raise your hand if you went without one meal, not on purpose. Amen? And so even though we, listen, God is faithful. The world frets and worries. Oh, but may it never be said of the child of God that we have anything to fear or anything to worry about. Has God seen us? Has not God seen us through what the world was in a panic about concerning the COVID virus? And I'm not saying it's not out there still, but you know, you got to wonder. Some of these things are, I mean, it's a real thing, and we went through it, and praise God, here we are on the other side, right? Hopefully on the other side. But I say that to say this, maybe there's another one on the horizon. Should we worry about what's on the horizon, or should we take stock that God holds us and takes care of us even in the days of famine? The Bible says they shall be what? Satisfied. Isn't that a good thing? That means that they're not going to suffer lack. They're not going to suffer hunger. They're going to be satisfied. But listen, it's important for the child of God to be satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in the things of this world that are passing away. Because if we're looking to the things, listen, fathom this thought. The things of this world are passing away. That means they're not forever. Why would we put stock or look to the things of this world for any kind of comfort, any kind of satisfaction, if they're passing away? Is there a place that we can place our hearts that will never pass away? Is there a person that will never leave us nor forsake us, but always hold us in his hands? Can we find satisfaction throughout all eternity in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? And of course, the answer is yes, we can. So may our eyes be focused on him, and may we take great care that we're not distracted, deceived, right, or misled by ourselves, the flesh, and the world. Those are the three opposing forces, really, in our life. The world is one place. Obviously, Satan wants to destroy us, but even our own flesh can mislead us. Has your flesh ever misled you? I said, oh, listen, this is going to bring you happiness. This is going to do this, and this will bring you happiness. The world is always doing that. Listen, they roll out the new iPhone. Where are we at now? 43? iPhone 55? And they line up and pay $1,000 or more dollars. And a year later, that same phone is worth less than half price. Why? Why? And then, you want to know how to become discontented with your vehicle that you're driving? Go to a new car dealership. It's a way to do it. Go. You'll say, oh, ooh, ah. But you know what? In 20 years, that thing's going to be in a junk pile. Is it not? Okay, take care of it maybe 50 years. Maybe, right? Not hardly. But here's the whole thing. Regardless of whatever it is, all of it is going to be burned up. All of it, even if it survives, is going to be burned up, and God's going to make everything brand new. And praise God for that. So we can be satisfied regardless of the times, right? Whether they're good times, bad times, times of famine in the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Verse 20 says this, but the wicked, those who know not the Lord and those who blaspheme God, and my goodness, they're coming out more and more. People, I mean, it used to be people would just be quiet. I'm not a religious person. They would have respect. They would even have respect for the churches. You know, remember, they used to leave church doors open. You wouldn't do that today, but they used to leave church doors open, and you could leave your vehicles out there, and the catalytic converters wouldn't get stolen from the vehicles like ours did, and things of that nature. But today, listen, the wicked are very brazen and very brash against the things that are right, and they are calling things that are good evil, and they're calling things that are evil good. And the Lord says this, but the wicked, lest we forget who they are, shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, and they shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. So God says, listen, their day is coming. Now, I want you to know this about the Lord. He's not willing that they should perish. They've got the opportunity to repent and acknowledge. You. Because listen, the whole world and every individual being on planet Earth is the Lord's. It's all God's. Did he not create it all? The world is walking around like they made themselves. No, listen, they just popped up. One day, they didn't exist, and they decided, you know what, I'm going to exist today. Isn't that foolish? Listen, the reason why they have life, a physical life, is because God said, I'm going to create them. But they belong to me. And God says, listen, I made you. Do you not have any reverence? Do you not have any respect for the one who created you? Do you not have any for the one that gave you physical life and also gave you his son to give you eternal life? Do you not have any regard or respect? The Bible says that God is the truth. Every mankind is a liar. And for us to take anything away from the credibility of the Lord, to not believe, listen, would you like to be known as a liar? I wouldn't like to be known as a liar. Would you like to be known as somebody, listen, when they say something, you can count on it, they're going to do it. Well, here's what God said. My son died on the cross to pay for how many of your sins? All of them. He shed his righteous blood in your place to pay for all of your sins. And for somebody to say, I don't know if I could believe that. You know what we're calling God? You're a liar. And God is not a liar. And listen, more than anything, God is faithful to himself. And he loved mankind so much, and I don't understand that, that he saw our plight and said, I'm going to send my son. Even before we were in existence. God knowing everything in eternity past, he knew us and said, I know what they need. And then the reason why I say that is because people say, well, if God was so loving, why is he judging us? Because he's a righteous God. Because he is righteous. Listen, you wouldn't want unrighteousness to be prevailing. Here's what unrighteousness looks like. Anybody can just go into your house tonight and do whatever they want. And nobody would stand for that. The same person, why does God have to judge? Because he is more righteous. He is righteousness. And if somebody committed a crime against... it's amazing how people will say, well, you know, they shouldn't be found guilty for murder because it wasn't their family member. But, you know, they never interview the families that have been affected by murders. That's a life that has been stolen from them that can never be returned. And I'm sorry, I believe the Bible, and I believe that they ought to pay with their life. And by the way, give them the gospel. Listen, you're getting ready to meet your maker. You have an opportunity right now. Every one of them, before they leave this life, present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that they might have. And that's what they used to do, that they might have an opportunity to trust their Savior, because God is going to judge the wicked. And by the way, here's the truth. It really doesn't matter what the world thinks or what the world says about God. Jesus already knew what they thought. Jesus said the world what? Hated him. Would you give up one of your loved ones for somebody who outwardly said, I hate you? God did. And we're going to sit back. We're going to sit back and we're going to judge God now. Because he loved us so much. Because we don't like the way that he thinks. I heard some commentator, you'd probably recognize his name. Listen, if you believe that homosexual, and I think he was a homosexual, and if you believe that homosexuality is wrong, if your faith offends or hurts other people, I think you better change your faith. Well, wait a minute. If your lifestyle offends Almighty God, maybe you ought to change your lifestyle. Maybe you ought to seek salvation from God. Maybe you ought to acknowledge that what you're doing is a perversion of what God has created. And because God is going to judge the wicked. Now, here's the thing. Ready? If you want to choose that path, isn't that amazing? You are free to choose that path. But it does have consequences, doesn't it? Why is it, of all the faiths, Christianity is singled out? Think about it now. You know, Islam is not crazy about the sin of homosexuality. When was the last time you saw the news reports about a Muslim baker being persecuted because a gay couple wasn't getting their cake made? But see, because they know that the Christians are not going to fight back. Why? Because God's not willing that any should perish. They take advantage and they become emboldened and very arrogant in their sin. But God's still not willing that they should perish. Now here's the truth. They've got an opportunity on this side of eternity to receive forgiveness. But listen, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We can sit, I can have this debate. And by the way, ready? I'm a pastor. What if I decided to say, you know what, you're right. Maybe Christianity is offensive to those who are living in wickedness. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality. We're just throwing all the sins, right, that people live in. We ought to just change those rules. We can't change them. But let's just say we're going to make up a new piece of paper. We're going to change them. Will that stop the judgment of God on their lives? It doesn't matter, does it? Because all wickedness will be judged before God. The Bible says this in verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. And by the way, listen, we ought to be mad at sin. We're not mad at the individual because they're ones for whom Christ died for. But listen, why would we be mad at that? Because sin destroys lives. Wickedness destroys lives. Verse 22, he says, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So listen, we are protected, and as a child of God, we are protected and preserved. Listen to this. The steps of a good man, the only good man is the saved one. That's it. But listen, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God will order our steps as we yield and present ourselves. Lord, I want your will. That's all you and I have to do. We complicate it. Listen, God's not asking us to do anything but one thing. You know what that is? Present ourselves before him. To have his will in our lives. Lord, I want your will. You know what God says? I'll order them. Your steps. I'll make sure you do it. In fact, I think the Lord has given to us a helper as well, called the Holy Spirit. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to empower our lives to glorify our God. Look at verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So we are protected and preserved even in this life. God upholds us with his hand. Is that not what verse 24 says? That's a good thing. Listen, if you ever feel down and a failure, right, and cast down, look at Psalm 37 that reminds us that though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Listen to what David says here, and maybe you can say this too. Ready? I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Have you ever gone without? Two more verses and we're finished. Three, actually. He is ever merciful. This is God's preserving us. He is ever merciful. What does that mean? When you blow it, he'll forgive you. Isn't that good? He knows we're going to make mistakes. But my goodness, let's not just say because I make mistakes, I'm just going to live in mistakes or sin. Because I am born a sinner, but God says, you're born again now with a new spirit. Don't settle for that. Call upon the Lord to empower your life. So he says he's ever merciful, verse 26, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Listen to this. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved for how long? Forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So we are protected and preserved forever. Amen? So what is it that we have in the Lord? Ready? Everything we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, for all of your provisions and what you've given to us in the salvation that you've given to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless your people, Lord. Empower our lives. Help us to understand more about what you've given to us, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we might stand in awe of who you are, our God and our Savior. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.